We're toward the end of the first section here where the old generation that came out of Egypt is at Mount Sinai, just about ready to set out for Canaan. They've received the law, the tabernacle has been constructed, the camp has been organized, they've been purified in various ways, and we're backing up the last couple of chapters. Thanks, man. To see some things that were done right after the construction of the tabernacle that weren't reported at that point for various reasons. Some offerings that were brought from the tribes by their leaders to dedicate the tabernacle. And then tonight, some organizing of the Levites. So the first thing, it's interesting, let there be light was God's first word, as far as we know, it's recorded in the Bible. And we saw last Sunday that it appears here that the first thing the Lord said to Moses was how Aaron was to order the lamps in the tabernacle. We talked about that. And now we're going to look at how he then made a point of setting apart the Levites. So with that little background, stand and we'll pray and then read Numbers 8 beginning in verse 5. Again, our Father, we thank you that you're the God of hope, the God who gives perseverance and encouragement, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, and we need all of those things. Thank you that these words were written, that among other things we might have an endurance, encouragement, and through those hope. Would you bless them to us tonight? We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, brothers and sisters, beginning in Numbers 8 and verse 5, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Take the Levites from among the people of Israel and cleanse them. Thus you shall do to them to cleanse them, sprinkle the water of purification upon them. Let them go with a razor over all their body and wash their clothes and cleanse themselves. Then let them take a bull from the herd and its grain offering of fine flour mixed with oil. You shall take another bull from the herd for a sin offering. You shall bring the Levites before the tent of meeting and assemble the whole congregation of the people of Israel. When you bring the Levites before the Lord, the people of Israel shall lay their hands on the Levites. And Aaron shall offer the Levites before the Lord as a wave offering from the people of Israel that they may do the service of the Lord. Then the Levites shall lay their hands on the heads of the bulls. You shall offer the one for a sin offering, the other for a burnt offering to the Lord to make atonement for the Levites. And you shall set the Levites before Aaron and his sons, and shall offer them as a wave offering to the Lord. Thus you shall separate the Levites from among the people of Israel, and the Levites shall be mine. And after that the Levites shall go in to serve the tent of meeting, when you've cleansed them and offered them as a wave offering. For they are wholly given to me from among the people of Israel, instead of all who opened the womb. The firstborn of all the people of Israel, I've taken them for myself. For all the firstborn among the people of Israel are mine, both of man and of beast. On the day that I struck down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I consecrated them for myself, and I've taken the Levites instead of all the firstborn among the people of Israel. I've given the Levites as a gift to Aaron and his sons from among the people of Israel to do the service for the people of Israel at the tent of meeting, to make atonement for the people of Israel, that there may be no plague among the people of Israel when the people of Israel come near the sanctuary." Thus did Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the people of Israel to the Levites. According to all that the Lord commanded Moses concerning the Levites, the people of Israel did to them. And the Levites purified themselves from sin, washed their clothes, and Aaron offered them as a wave offering before the Lord, and Aaron made atonement for them to cleanse them. And after that, the Levites went in to do their service in the tent of meeting before Aaron and his sons, as the Lord had commanded Moses concerning the Levites, so they did to them. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "This applies to the Levites from 25 years old and upward. They shall come to do duty in the service of the tent of meeting. From the age of 50 years, they shall withdraw from the duty of the service and serve no more. They minister to their brothers in the tent of meeting by keeping guard, but they shall do no service. Thus shall you do to the Levites in assigning their duties." Brothers and sisters, this is God's word.
Amen.
Please be seated. I think sometimes we fail to appreciate as much as we should the significance of the tabernacle in biblical revelation and biblical religion. It's easy to see it as only, and in one sense it's perfectly true, just a temporary provision for Israel while they were in the wilderness, and after some time, while they came into the promised land, this place where God dwelt in the midst of his people, that was later replaced by the temple, Solomon's temple, and then the second temple built under Ezra and Nehemiah. And even though it's true that that was a historical situation, the tabernacle is referred to rather frequently and in significant ways in the New Testament. Jesus, in John 1, is said to have tabernacled among us while he was living here on earth. The book of Hebrews, interestingly, the book of Hebrews was written when the temple, the second temple, Herod's temple in Jerusalem, still was standing. And yet the writer seems often to be using the tabernacle rather than the temple. And the text in the Old Testament referring to the tabernacle as he describes Israel's religion and the priesthood and so on. And then in the book of Revelation in chapter 7, describing the consummation of all things. It says these are the redeemed are before the throne of God to serve him day and night in the temple, and who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. It means literally spread his tabernacle over them. And Revelation 21, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth passed away. Heard a loud voice from God's throne. Behold, the dwelling place, literally the tabernacle of God, is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God will be with them as their God. And so the tabernacle is referred to, again, in some very significant places in the New Testament. And so even though we do it in a sort of a typological, a symbolic way, I think as we look at the tabernacle, we can and should see connections with the New Testament that are very significant. And here, last week I gave you the point, light played a vital role in Israel's worship. That's the first four verses. Tonight, the Levites also played a vital role in Israel's worship. And the first thing we see here in this passage is that God cares deeply about those who are called to serve him. It's interesting, again, the passage begins, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the Levites from among the people of Israel and cleanse them." This was God himself who told Moses to do the things that we've read here with respect to the Levites, and gave some very specific commands because they were going to be his servants. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, take the Levites from among the people of Israel and cleanse them. And it says in verse 22, as the Lord commanded Moses concerning the Levites, so they did. Verse 23, about their retirement, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, and so God himself was the one who chose the Levites, set them aside, and explained how it was to be done. This was very important to the Lord. They're going to serve him and his people in the tabernacle, and he's concerned about that. Not only that, he repeatedly stresses that they were called to serve him in a special way. They were going to assist the priest. They were going to guard the tabernacle. One of the first things that was done in Numbers is to organize the camp, and the Levites camped around the tabernacle between the tabernacle and the other tribes to guard it. They also were responsible for moving the tabernacle. In chapter 4, their various responsibilities were assigned, who moved what, and then they helped the priests in offering sacrifices at the altar and so on. And so God says here repeatedly, verse 11, Aaron shall offer the Levites before the Lord as a wave offering that they may do the service of the Lord. Verse 15, the Levites should go in to serve at the tent of meeting. Verse 19, I have given the Levites as a gift to Aaron and his sons among the people to do the service of the people of Israel at the tent of meeting. And then 22, the Levites went in to do their service in the tent of meeting. And so God himself has given them a special calling to serve him and sets them apart for that. And it's interesting, he even limits their service. He says in verse 24, this is where we have the provision for their semi-retirement. They never retired, but they semi-retired. This applies to Levites from 25 years old and upward. They shall come to do duty in the service of the tent of meeting, and from the age of 50 they shall withdraw from the duty of the service and serve no more. Only those in the peak of health were permitted the prime of life to do this, partly because, at least with the tabernacle, it was heavy work carrying and transporting it. But even when the temple was established, if they were involved in offering sacrifice, it was heavy physical work. But the point is, God is concerned. He limits when they can serve. By serving the Lord, the Levites are also serving the people of Israel and vice versa. In verse 19, I've given the Levites as a gift to Aaron and his sons from among the people to do the service of the people of Israel. The people of Israel owed service to God, and God says, I'm going to let the Levites in a special way do the ministry to me that you otherwise would have to do. It's interesting, in John 21, you remember how Jesus commissioned Peter? Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. Three times. And each time, after Peter affirmed his love, what did Jesus say? Tend my lambs. Feed my sheep. If you love me, show that by serving my people. And so here in this text, it said on the one hand that they are to serve the Lord, and yet it's also said that they are serving the people of Israel. It's interesting, the Levites were a twofold gift. They were a gift from the people to the Lord. The nation of Israel, in a sense, here is giving this tribe of Levites to the Lord as a gift. Verse 16, they, the Levites, are wholly given to me from among the people of Israel. And yet he says, I've taken them from myself. I've taken the Levites instead of the firstborn. And having taken the Levites for himself, God then gives them to Aaron and the priests. In verse 19, I've given the Levites as a gift to Aaron and his sons from among the people to help. The priests needed help in doing all that needed to be done. And God, having received, in a sense, the Levites as a gift from the people, gives them as a gift to Aaron and the priests to be their assistants. And it's interesting that before they actually began their service, and we've seen some of this already back in chapters 3 and 4, but remember, this backs up to the time of the completion of the tabernacle. Before they actually begin their service, the Lord requires these things to be formalized with a ritual. And he actually specifies what that ritual is. Before they began their ministry, the Levites had to be purified, first by cleansing. He says in verse 6, take the Levites from among the people of Israel and cleanse them. Thus you shall do to them to cleanse them. Three things. Sprinkle the water of purification upon them. There's debate whether this was just water out of the bronze laver or whether it was that special water that was made with the ashes of a red heifer. But in any event, it was water for purification sprinkled upon them. And it's interesting, those of us who think that baptism doesn't require immersion, but that it can be done by pouring or sprinkling, here's an important act of cleansing, symbolically, that's done with sprinkling. And then let them go with a razor over all their body. And then thirdly, wash their clothes and cleanse themselves. Now, the priests had their own ceremony by which the priests were set apart, but it's different here. They didn't wash their clothes. They got special garments. They got new clothes. But here, the Levites have to be sprinkled, shave themselves all over their body, and wash their clothes. And then, not only by this kind of cleansing, but by sacrifice, he goes on to say in 8, let them take a bull from the herd, and the grain offering, take another bull for a sin offering, lay their hands on the bulls and offer one for a sin offering and one for a burnt offering. And so they had to be cleansed. They're going to serve a holy God in a holy work, and they had to be cleansed before that could be done. But not only that, God wanted them to be commissioned as well. Bring the Levites, this is verse 9, before the tent of meeting, assemble the whole congregation of the people of Israel. This is a big deal. And when you bring the Levites before the Lord, the people of Israel shall lay their hands on the Levites. This is an ordination of sorts, certainly a commissioning ceremony. The whole nation of Israel to gather around the tribe of the Levites and to lay hands on them. And Aaron shall offer the Levites before the Lord as a wave offering. Now, there's debate because we don't know exactly how it was done. Some think there's a distinction between a wave offering that was done where the motion of the priest was horizontal, where they would take parts of an animal, and sometimes a heave offering where it went up and down. The argument here is probably this is best understood as a dedication offering. The Levites are an offering of dedication to the Lord. And it's interesting, this is the first one that we have, but at the end of Numbers, we're going to have another laying on of hands, another commissioning in Numbers 27. The Lord said to Moses, "Take Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is your spirit, and lay your hand on him. Make him stand before Eleazar, the priest, and all the congregation. Commission him in their sight." He's going to be Moses' successor. And Mark Burns, if you're in the Sunday school class on Judges, alluded to this a little bit this morning. But God specified that Moses, before he died, was to make clear that Joshua would be his successor. Part of that was a ceremony of laying on of hands. And Moses did as the Lord commanded. He took Joshua, made him stand before the priest, and the whole congregation laid his hands on him and commissioned him as the Lord directed. And of course, we've got a number of examples in the New Testament. The deacons in Acts chapter 6. Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey in Acts 13. And at the end of that journey, they go back to the cities where they preached and had groups of believers. It says they ordained elders and laid hands on elders. So this ceremony of laying on of hands suggests an identification. They had to do it with the sacrifices. And they put their hands on them. Apparently, the word could mean lean. They leaned against them and identified, sinners identifying with the sacrifice that would pay the penalty for their sin. But in this case, the Israelites identifying with the Levites, taking their place to minister in a special way to God. And of course, earlier in chapter 3, God had said, "Remember when I brought you out of Egypt, I claim all the firstborn. I kill the firstborn of the Egyptians, but because of the blood of the Passover lamb, I spared your firstborn. They belong to me in a special way." But he said in chapter 3 here in Numbers, in lieu or in place of the firstborn from all of Israel, I'm going to take the Levites. Remember, they took a census. And the numbers were not exact, but very close. The number of Israelites, the number of Levites, just within a little bit of the number of the firstborn, and they paid money, a ransom, to set off the difference. And so the Levites now have taken the place of them. And so it's interesting that this is so important to the Lord. And then finally, as vital as the Levites' role was, or perhaps because it was so vital, their service was circumscribed by their age, and I've already mentioned this. Interestingly, in chapter 3, God says, had told them to take a census of the Levites 30 years, between 30 and 50. Here it's 25, and you could ask, well, why the difference? The rabbis, the Jewish rabbis, suggested that the Levites served a 5-year apprenticeship or internship, if you will. And at 25, they began to be trained for the work, and then when they reached 30, interesting, the age of Ezekiel, when he began his ministry, and more significantly, Jesus Christ, being, Luke says, as was supposed, 30 years of age, he was baptized, and at 30, then they entered fully into their ministry. And as I suggested, perhaps because it was so physical and so important, God limited the amount of time that they could serve. He said they can minister to their brothers by keeping guard. They could continue to do that after 50, but not the service that they did, which was more demanding. So, brothers and sisters, a couple of things by way of application. One thing I think it suggests is the importance of church officers. Now, some have drawn a parallel between the priests and the Levites and elders and deacons, and I'm not sure that it's quite that neat. But I think it's at least interesting that we've got these several different officers, if you will, especially called servants of God to serve in the church and the tabernacle under the Old Testament, and the two offices that we have under the New. I think it shows us the true nature of ministry. A minister, and I mean by that not just somebody like me, but elders and deacons who are called to serve the Lord, do it first to Him and then to the people. Serving the people is important, but these Levites are set apart to the Lord. He claims them as His, and they're set apart to Him, and then they're commissioned to do their work. It shows us the importance, I believe, of purity in the church and in its leaders. They were symbolically cleansed by the sprinkling of water. Of course, you know, we're sprinkled with the blood of Christ, which makes us righteous. But I think these other things, the shaving, the washing of the clothes, suggest again that someone who's going to serve the Lord, same God, same holy God in His church, is to be pure. And so the importance of holiness in the lives of those, all Christians to be holy, but there's a special burden and concern for those who are called to serve in a special way. I think the importance of ritual is brought out here. Now we have to be careful. We can overdo that, and I think some have done that. Under the New Testament, worship is our confession of faith says more simple and more spiritual. We're dealing with realities that are unseen. They're real, but we can't see them with our physical eyes. We see them with the eyes of faith. And so the worship itself is, we're not given lots of rituals. We've got a laying on of hands. There's a New Testament precedent for that. Other than that, the basic elements of worship, the preaching of the word, singing, praying, the sacraments, we're not given a lot, but the fact that there is a place for outward ritual, and rightly and properly done, it's important. God's the one who said, I want you to have them do these things, then bring them and lay hands on them, and so on. So, again, we can sometimes react so much against ritualism that we neglect to appreciate that there's a proper place for it. The validity and the nature of ministerial retirement. Now, I'm not saying it's 50 years. I don't know what the problem is. I'm 65. I should have been cooling my heels for the last 15 years. I don't think. But there is some precedent here for a change in the role. And it's interesting that I believe David, later when he makes provision for Solomon's temple, actually lowers the age to 20, and there's discussion as to why he does that. But the idea that there is a place that people reach a point where they can't do the same things they've always done as well as they've done them, and to pull back from that, and yet not completely. It says that even though they weren't to continue their regular service, they could minister to their brothers in the tent of meeting by keeping guard. And it's interesting, again, our brother Mike Seifert, or whatever his name is. I remember I hadn't been here that long. Shortly after I was called as an assistant pastor at Wallace, I came as the most recent of four ministers, and within about 18 months, I was the only one for three congregations, not only the mother church at Wallace, but here in Good Hope. And that was a challenging time. But Harold Borchard, I think, is the name of the brother that was called down to Wallace as an interim pastor, and it gave me a wonderful appreciation for how a man like that, who was seasoned, could come and could give continuity in preaching, but stability to a church that needed it, and wisdom and guidance. And so he was retired or quasi-retired, but continuing to serve the Lord. So, again, at least in principle. It encourages brothers and sisters to pray for laborers and praise the Lord when He answers that prayer. We all are called to minister and serve the Lord. We all have gifts to do that. All the Israelites did, but there's a place for those who have a special calling and gifting. And so, again, Jesus said that's something for which we should pray. And then, finally, appreciate, support, and encourage those called to it. Encourage them, especially in their calling to protect God's truth and His people. Remember, back in chapter 1, one of the Levites' functions was to be guards. And the church needs to be guarded. The flock of Christ, the lambs of Christ, need to be guarded against wolves who would come in. And in this case, the danger was that the Israelites would come and defile the tabernacle and bring a plague or some other thing on them. That's not our problem, at least in a literal physical way, but false teaching and other things that would harm the flock of God and the church of God. The officers, elders especially, have a special calling to protect it. And so pray for, appreciate, encourage those called to that work. So not only did light play a vital role in Israel's worship, but the Levites also. And may it be said of us what it was said of them, that Moses and Aaron did, and all the congregation of the people did according to all the Lord commanded Moses concerning the Levites. May we have that heart to seek to do all that he's called us to do with respect to serving him and his church. Amen. Please stand for prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you that you have tabernacled among men, not only in that tent of animal skins in the desert of Sinai, but in the flesh and blood of our blessed Lord Jesus in Galilee and Judea. And we thank you that you have promised that you will yet again tabernacle, you will spread your shelter over your people and in the fullness of time, the new Jerusalem, and dwell in the midst of your people in a special and wonderful way. Grant that we might appreciate both that which is past, that which is future, and we thank you for your presence in our midst even now by your Spirit. Grant us grace according to our various gifts and callings. Thank you for your wisdom and how you've provided for your church, how you provided for our particular church and your church generally. May we be good stewards of that for Jesus' sake. Amen.